Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, live Q&A sessions where we completely ramble off-topic, kind of like I'm doing right now in the introduction, and other stuff at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me, Jack!
Yay!
So what's funny is I heard from someone that if you stop doing the yay, it ruins the show for them.
I heard that.
I don't remember who it was, but was that on Facebook? Or
yeah, I read that. I was like, yes, finally I matter.
I've made it! So anyway, we've got a really awesome show lined up tonight with Packet Owl of Practical Firearms Training. Before that, we just came off of a trip down to Daniel Defense, got to see some of the cool things they're doing, including working out some more of the details for the training event that they're putting on for law enforcement. I posted about that on the Facebook page, but that is coming together rather nicely. But hey, Jack, before we get to tonight's show, guess what?
What? What is it? Don't keep me in suspense.
Well, you know. But thank you for building suspense. This segment is brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night, and TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 night vision goggle to the IR Patrol thermal monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that wanders off all the time. I think his home life is probably not so good. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC, now with financing. And do you know what that means, Jack?
What's that? What's that, John?
Pressing buttons. It means you can own or finance the night. TNVC. So, yeah, anyway. Let's get Pat on so we are actually entertaining instead of just listening to ourselves. Joining us, Packet Owl. Pat, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, John, how are you?
Oh, I cannot complain. It's been a lovely week, and I got to shoot a bunch of machine guns and hang out in Savannah and some other stuff, so cannot complain at all. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well. That's very cool.
So for those that don't know or are not familiar, You have kept a very low profile over the years, which I find commendable, but I'm hoping to get, you know, to get you past that a little bit. For those that don't know, can you say who you are, what you do, and maybe a little bit of your background, and we'll hop right into tonight's show.
Okay. I run Practical Firearms Training. We've got a training organization set up in southeastern West Virginia, where we own a facility purpose-built for our applications. We also do a fair amount of foreign and off-site stuff. We have a pretty significant operation based out of Billings, Montana. And we train 1,500 to 2,500 folks a year of, you know, various types. Our customer base is broken into three basic categories. Military, which is primarily special mission units, law enforcement, a fair amount of SWAT stuff, and the private sector. We started out just doing the military and law enforcement things, and this kind of broadened our base into the private sector. So the percentages vary from year to year based on, you know, what the demand is, what the political situation worldwide turns out to be. And you know, but you're right. We do keep a pretty low profile. We have a very minimal presence on social media, and largely have been up to this point depended upon personal referrals and folks who've trained with us and know us to, you know, say good things and send us more business.
Well, there you go. And hopefully after tonight, more people will look into you. Not that you need any help from me, but it's – so also, now you spent some time in the military. You were actually a co-worker and friends with Pat Rogers, who recently passed away.
I was 22 years as a Marine officer, and Pat and I served together. And we were together in a special mission unit back in the day, and so we'd remained lifelong friends ever since then. Pat's been to our facility a number of times, you know, until his tragic death, you know, we maintain our relationship.
So I guess what I want to get into first is now the facility that you have in West Virginia. Melody Lauer and I were recently out there. I want to say last month. It's an incredible facility. It allows you to do some things that I have not seen done before. And the class that we took was the Advanced Tac Rifle class, which was essentially an overview of everything you can do with the carbine. Would you say that's a fair assessment of it? Or
sure, yeah. That class is being an advanced class. We run that based on an assumption of capability for folks coming to us. There's a vetting process. They have to have had some significant prior experience, you know, with the carbine. And we teach full-spectrum use of the rifle, which is everything from contact distance to, you know, 400-plus yards. And that class gives us a chance to actually exercise that. And you may recall you got to see the full spectrum of it.
Well, I certainly did, and I certainly wish I had done more cardio before I got there. But that's a completely separate conversation. We've got a couple minutes left in this segment, then we have to go to break, and I'll get into more detail here. But would you say that, and without saying anything negative about anyone else's class, but would you say that having a facility that allows you to do everything from vehicle stuff to shoot house stuff to out to 400 yards at unknown distances allows you to teach the carbine a little bit more thoroughly than people that don't have that available to them?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, I do travel off-site, and a lot of the ranges I go to are law enforcement or private ranges where you might have a 50 by 25-yard, you know, bay that you're confined to, and that sort of constrains what we can do. You know, we believe the rifle is a rifle and should be capable of being used throughout the full range of its effective engagement distance.
So our
place here lets us do that.
So for and we got about 50 seconds left, but for an AR-15 style rifle, what is the effective engagement distances, would you say?
Well, you know, it's interesting. With carbines, typically they're red dot sighted or it's got some, you know, low powered variable optic. Guys have no problem hitting, you know, out to 450, 500 yards even. We do see in our precision rifle classes the occasional use of, you know, usually bolt guns or, you know, accurized semi-automatic rifles, and we engage out to 700-800 yards. Now, the wind plays hell with ballistics at that distance, particularly with 5.56, but it is doable.
So would you say that, do you think there's been too much of an emphasis lately? And I was wrong. We've actually got another minute left because apparently I can't read a clock anymore. Would you say that there's in a lot of programs there's maybe not too much of an emphasis, but just because they're limited by the facility, they focus on the close range stuff?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good trainers out there, and I think the guys when you show up and you've got, you know, nothing on a berm and you've got 50 meters max distance. That sort of constrains what you can do. And so you have to build a program that looks like that. You know, we're fortunate that we don't have that restriction. When we do off-site rifle programs, quite often, you know, we'll pare it back to match the facility we have. So I think that's really where it's at. You know, I'm an old-school guy, so I kind of think that, you know, full-spectrum use of the rifle is the way to go.
Perfect. Let me interrupt right there because we have to go to break. Right now we're talking with Pat Goodell. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices, and with more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile Striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022, Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that yet. Sig Sauer, when it counts. So I got to ask, Jack, how many people do you think missed the Serenity reference there? Or
all.
Firefly reference? All of them? Well, I'll keep trying. Anyway, we are talking with Pat Goodell. Pat, hopefully I've not hung up on you while the commercial was happening.
No, I'm here.
Perfect. I've always got that brief moment of trepidation where I'm like, oh, I hope so. But so anyway, before the break, we were talking about, I guess, how a lot of programs that have sort of cropped up around the carbine have focused on shorter range engagements because that's what they're limited to, I guess, based on the facility that they have available to them. And I guess my question is, do you think that with how the threat profile we are facing these days, with the there seems to be more terrorist attacks that involve people wearing body armor, armed with long guns, there seems to be all these things occurring that are stretching the engagement range out. Do you think that maybe a little bit more attention should be paid to a all-inclusive picture of the carbine?
I'd certainly like to see that happen. You know, a lot of guys that are running training have a certain point of reference, and I can appreciate that. And my point of reference happens to be a little different. But you're right. I think that for most law enforcement use of the carbine, that's just fine. But certainly for military and the general private sector use, you know, being able to use the rifle throughout its full capability, I think, makes a ton of sense.
Well, and it seems too that what do you think the most difficult part is for people to? I mean, if they're interested in learning how to really effectively run a carbine, what do you think the most difficult part is for people to, I guess, figure out or learn if they've only been limited to, you know, 50 meters or in or 100 meters and in? Is there any one thing that stands out to you as this is why this is really meaningful and why you should work on it, you know, in a training environment?
Understanding the ballistic curve is big. You have to understand what the bullet's doing at various distances out to, you know, effective engagement range. But, you know, back to the thing that we see that's probably the most pressing problem in training, and I'm sure my peers would agree with this, is getting smooth, efficient manipulations. We see guys with very good equipment, sometimes have been to multiple schools, and their manipulations just aren't as efficient as they could be or should be.
Right. Well, and so the thing I'll notice, too, is, you know, I came out and I took your class, and I was very impressed with, number one, the scope and the fact that you guys would, one, even attempt to get all of that into a two-day class, and two, actually manage to pull it off. Very impressed as far as the time hacks that were required to do that and the amount of shooting that everyone did. But going back to, like, the manipulations, you know, there were a bunch of really great students. I was certainly the most out of shape one there. And the only way that I was able to keep up even a little bit was the fact that I wasn't missing that much. It was the only positive thing about that weekend for me, you know. And that was all back down to having the manipulations down and having the fundamentals down.
Absolutely. You just made my point. And, you know, you shot great. You know, there is a physical component to our courses, particularly our advanced courses. We have two parts to our facility, as you know.
Yep.
Our home facility, which is a couple hundred acres, that's set up specifically for the full spectrum use of, you know, all three platforms, rifle, shotgun, handgun. And then our long-range facility, where we can shoot out to nearly 1,000 yards. And when we get to that, that the wheels start to come off with some folks.
And that was, so oddly enough, day one for me was just like a little more difficult than day two, because day two it was like, okay, I'm at least kind of comfortable here, and I'm hitting stuff, which is good. I guess let me back up a little bit and talk about training pace. What do you think, where do you think that line is between trying to pack in as much as you can and get everything in that you can versus, you know, I guess not having students standing around in with too much downtime? I mean, how do you decide, you know, when to nudge people, when to give people a break?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Our philosophy is, you know, I tell my instructors every single class, our mission is to transfer as much knowledge to our customers during the time we have that we can, and to efficiently utilize their time. You know, our position is to, you know, give more than you have to and charge less than you can, and go forward with teaching them at a level that's going to force them to move to us and not the other way around.
Right.
Occasionally, we do get, you know, shooters who need a little bit extra help, and we're, you know, we maintain an excellent instructor-to-student ratio, and we're fully capable of peeling a guy off and kind of sidebarring with him and working through any problems he might have. But, you know, having been through a whole lot of prior training, both in the military and the private sector, I'm sure all your listeners will know that you go to a class and, you know, it's one day of training crammed into three or four.
Right.
And that just doesn't cut it for us. So if a guy feels like he's drinking from a fire hose, he probably is.
It was, I will say it was very impressive, because I've seen some high round count classes where essentially all that's happening is, here's this one skill and we're going to just work this one skill, and you're going to pull the trigger a lot so that you feel like you're getting your money's worth, but you're not actually being exposed to anything new. You're not getting pushed outside of your comfort zone, which I, you know, personally I feel is very important if we're training. That should hopefully be happening. So it like I said, it was very impressive. Let me back up again, back to the rifle manipulations, which you said was something that a lot of people overlook, where, you know, they have really great kit, but their manipulations are not solid. Do you think, what would be something for people to do if maybe they don't have a rifle range easily available to them? Is there anything they can do at home, like dry, that would help them work those skills? Or
You bet there are. They can handle the gun a lot more often. I mean, guys will, you know, they go to a school, they shoot the gun, they clean it, they put it back in the safe. You know, two or three times a week, you know, you got to break the thing out and just get comfortable with it, making it an extension of you. You know, dry fire, go through some of the positions that we teach. And you can do that in the privacy of your own home, even if you're in a place that's not terribly gun-friendly.
Right. Anything in particular as far as just maybe shooting positions, working on getting up and down with the rifle in your hand, other things?
You know, the three basic positions, of course, are standing, kneeling, and prone. And we find that, you know, obviously, as you recall, the, you know, tactical standing, you know, being able to do up drills and standing snaps,
right,
is an important thing. But that's something that gets taught in a lot of places. And so often guys have that down reasonably well. When we make them go to kneeling or sitting or prone and do it efficiently and change positions between shots, that's where, you know, we start to see issues.
So as far as we've got about a minute left in this segment, and then when we get to the next one, I'll try and hit on something else. But as far as that goes, so would you just pretty much have people doing just flowing through the positions in their living room?
Yeah, standing, kneeling, prone. Get yourself efficient in going up and down, and do it in full kit. You know, the stuff that you're going to wear on the range is the stuff you ought to be wearing when you're doing your personal dry practice, because it'll change. If you're wearing running shorts and a T-shirt, things will be a whole lot different than if you've got a plate carrier and armor.
So pretty much just if the only context where you're going to be using a carbine is if you're cop or military and you're going to be in armor, then do it that way. And if you're civilian, sure. Whatever that works out as.
You're right. There's different contexts for you.
Let me interrupt real quick, and I apologize, Pat, but we have to pay for the show, so there's commercials. So hold that thought. We're talking with Pat Goodell right now. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatter guns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. So, we were talking with Pat Goodell. Now, Pat, before the break, we were discussing people working just positional drills at home, dry. And we got onto context being different, because you had brought up people wearing the kit that they would wear. And then I interrupted you, and I apologize.
Okay. Listen, if you're a homeowner and you've got the rifle, you're in an urban environment, you've got it sitting, in a closet in your bedroom, obviously you're going to pick that thing up and expect to be able to use it instantaneously. And, there's no kit involved.
Right.
So, if you're a recreational shooter where you don't have, these accoutrements we're talking about. So keeping the use of the rifle relevant to how you plan to do it makes a lot of sense. We see a fair number of folks who will go out and they'll kit themselves out like they're going to Afghanistan, and, they're not really. They're home defense guys.
Right.
So really, and it's cool to have new gear and good gear, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. But, I'd rather see a guy spend more time shooting the gun than, shopping online for accessories for the gun. I think Greg Elfritz said it best that, the frequency of your training is more important than the duration. And I would add to that the relevance of your training.
Nice. So I guess this sort of leads into to me at least, interesting discussion. How do you think a carbine should be set up these days? I mean, I had my own personal preferences based off of, my assumption that I think is changing now that more things are going on in the world, that I would only be taking close-range shots. But I keep seeing these cell phone videos of attacks taking place where if, instead of a cell phone, that person had a rifle available to them, they could have ended the situation. So what do you think a carbine should look like these days, just a general-purpose carbine?
Sure. I would tie it back to the intended usage.
Sure.
That the owner has envisioned for this. Now, he may go outside that spectrum, but, if you think about where you are and how you're going to use the gun, there's some things at a minimum you ought to have on it. Okay, obviously, the current standard is either a red dot or a low power glass magnified optic. It can be a variable power or fixed. So some kind of an effective sighting system that's quantum improvement over the issue iron sights.
Right.
A decent sling. The gun. Most of the guns we see turn out to be obese, to put it mildly.
Yes.
Guys will show up with all sorts of paraphernalia hanging off of them, and after about the first half day, they're taking things off. And then pretty soon at the end of the course, the gun looks a lot more like they'd like it to look. And so use discretion in what you buy and what you put on it, the AR-15 M4 is probably the most accessorized weapon in the world outside the 1911 pattern pistol. But not all the accessories are of equal merit,
right,
or equal quality. And, you know, whether you opt for a carbine length or a mid-length, that's a personal choice. The mid-lengths, obviously, are a little softer shooting. And, you know, we find that there's a real tendency now to run SBRs suppressed, and that makes a great combination, particularly, you know, in a home defense environment or even on a range where everybody appreciates a suppressed weapon.
Right.
You know, so a good white light, a good optic, a solid carbine, you know, one from a reputable manufacturer. If the gun chokes for any reason, I'm looking at it askance.
Yes.
You know, you probably saw us in course. The first thing we'll do is send it back to the armorer's station and see what the hell's going on.
Well, and I don't think and maybe I was too busy sucking wind and wishing I had eaten less Big Macs, you know, the preceding months, but I don't think I saw anybody's carbine really having too much trouble, at least at the class I was at.
Right. When you get to that level, you've got an advanced class. Usually the guys have sorted this stuff out. And, you know, if they were honest with you, they'd probably tell you that they owned two or three rifles before they got to one they showed up with. Because, you know, we go through this learning process, and we've all done that. And, you know, you constantly make adjustments and tweak and so forth. And, you know, there's, you know, some, you know, really good manufacturers out there now, guys that understand the gun, understand what the needs are. You know, I was listening to your ad for Daniel Defense. You know, they're very solid. We see actually quite a few more Daniel Defense rifles in the last 2 years than we had previously. So it's a merit to the quality of their product and the good marketing.
Well, it's fun. Since you brought it up, the thing that impressed, because we were just down at the factory there, and I actually got to watch them make some rifles. And the thing that I did not realize that they do is, you know, they actually visually inspect the lands and grooves of the rifling of each and every single barrel that comes out of their factory. They don't pull random ones. They don't pull every third one. They look at every single one of them. You know, they've got two guys that's all their job is to look for inconsistencies, you know, and things like that. But it, you know, being able to get a rifle like a Daniel Defense or, you know, some of the other quality manufacturers out there that is, you know, anything mechanical can break, anything made by man can break, but you at least have the assumption that it's going to work. It is certainly handy, and it certainly saves time. I guess my next question is, do you think people overlook the value of training in regards to it allowing you to sort your gear out before you're doing it for real?
Oh, I absolutely think they do, yeah. The gear comes first, at least for many of our shooters anyway. And we'll commonly get questions about this or that. And we tell them in class, look, use this as a chance to, you know, one, test your personal method, all right, does this work for you? And two, test your equipment. And if something doesn't work, you can't trust your life to it, if that's what you're going to do with the rifle. And in many cases, it is. So, buying a hobby rifle, as my friend Pat Rogers would call it, it just doesn't cut it anymore.
Right.
For most of us that are a little deeper into this. If a guy doesn't shoot but 200 rounds a year and he wants to, you know, buy a parts kit and put it together, great. But it's a guarantee just about that if he comes to our course, that rifle will bite the dust, you know, usually by the end of the first day. So quality guns are important. Quality components are important. And, you know, setting it up in a solid, effective manner. You know, and we can help with that, and we do. You know, a lot of times guys will have, you know, their accessories mounted improperly. And once they get out and they start doing some fairly vigorous training with us, they pretty quickly realize that adjustments need to be made. And so that's the value in vetting, you know, what you got going on.
Why do you think it is that people are not able to figure this out on their own, just standing on the square range, pulling the trigger, you know, for 100 rounds or so and putting the gun away?
Well, it's because it's easy to do. And there's, you know, the glitches don't show up there, okay? You know, they may have, you know, looked at whatever influenced them to, you know, set the gun up the way it was, whether it's, you know, another instructor or something they saw on online or whatever. You know, you stand up, you shoot, and everything feels good. It's when you start to move around and get in different positions and, you know, use the gun hard, you know, get it hot, dry, and dirty, that stuff starts to happen.
Let me ask you another question now. We got about 2 minutes left in this segment, and then we'll break for the commercial again. But do you think that the role of the carbine for just a civilian is expanding or has expanded just due to the different things going on in the world these days?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I say this to my classes all the time. The current carbine, and it's M4 AR-15 variant, which is the dominant model out there, is the functional modern equivalent of what a typical citizen or a household would have had 100 years ago in a Winchester Model 94 lever action 30-30.
Right.
It's a tool. It's used for hunting. It's used for personal defense. And it's a good general purpose tool.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be a whole lot more effective tool. And that's the, you know, the benefit of technology.
So as far as I know, a lot of people have always said, you know, that for civilians at least, that, you know, the handgun is more useful, and I agree with that just because we can carry it with us and all that. But a lot of people have always said, well, carbine classes, stuff like that, you don't need that. Just yes or no right now, and then we'll get into it a little bit more. Do you think that's an accurate statement or no?
No. You know, need is a relative thing.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You know, we live in the mountains in southeastern West Virginia, surrounded by, you know, thousands of acres of forest, with a very low population density.
Well, hold that thought, and I apologize, Pat, because we have to go to break, and we'll pick right up where we left off. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it, but how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it, or through it. That's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen Sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell, "Aziz, light!" ever again. That was a Fifth Element reference for those that don't know. Really good movie. And it doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now is a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners. You can get 30% off at the Surefire website of everything except batteries and suppressors by using the discount code ALLTHELUMENS at checkout. That is ALLTHELUMENS. No space, because then it doesn't work. But anyway, Surefire. So we are talking with Pat Goodell. Now, Pat, before the break, we were talking about how environment sort of changes things, and you were telling us about West Virginia and some of the terrain there, and then I interrupted.
Oh, sure. You know, our environment here calls for us to have a rifle that's capable of being used over the full spectrum, which sort of tracks with, you know, my background from, you know, operational experience. And so that's kind of transmitted itself into our training syllabus. But, you know, to your point about the difference between a, you know, handgun or a carbine, if you take a look at the demographics of what we're seeing now, I mean, the two most recent shootings involving law enforcement officers in Baton Rouge and Dallas, you know, both bad guys had armor, both bad guys had rifles. All right, so, you know, this is an emerging thing, and you know, I'm sure most of your listeners are well aware of the dramatic power difference between the two. And so if you think of the biggest, meanest guy that you ever could envision, you know, kicking your door in at 2 o'clock in the morning, what would you rather confront that guy with? Is it a handgun or is it a well-set-up carbine?
I would much rather shoot my co-host Jack with a carbine because I don't know that a handgun would do it. But...
There you go. And, you know, we see people every day that you think, man, I hope I don't have to shoot this guy because bullets, you know, he's too thick. They're just not going to get into where they need to be.
Well, and it seems like, too, that people have an overestimation of what handgun caliber rounds do when they strike a human being, and even rifle caliber rounds when they strike a human being.
Oh, sure. You know, and there's a lot of hype out there about that, and, you know, some of the ammunition manufacturers are probably contributors to that. You know, they want to promote their product and sell it, and we understand that, but... You know, handgun bullets are really poor stoppers.
Right.
And there's a reason in training why, you know, our standard response is 2 rounds. You know, to increase the wounding potential, maybe get a little 2 separate wound channels going, and we use high-performance ammunition. You know, handguns have come a long ways in the last 20 years, but mostly in the format of ammunition development.
Right.
You know, a Glock in 1985 doesn't look any different than a Glock now with some cosmetic changes.
Right.
But the ammunition you feed that gun is a whole bunch better. And the same thing is actually happened with carbines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we're using now, well, what's available now is dramatically better. Now, it's also dramatically more expensive, but that's a different story.
Well, and that seems to unfortunately be just sort of a side effect of things not being as widely available or as widely adopted, you know, but we'll see. I guess let's do this. If it's all right with you, I'd like to talk about where people can find your classes at and things like that. And then if we have time for it, if you don't mind, if you could tell your favorite radio safe Pat Rogers memory since you... you knew him for so long.
Okay. Sure. We have a website, you know, www.pgpft.com. If folks want to email me direct, it's pgoodale@pgpft.com, and you'll see that at the website as well. If you want to go to Facebook, there is a Facebook page, but Wayne Fisher, who is one of my senior instructors, is the administrator of that. You know, for me, at this point anyway, Facebook is just one too many things for me to keep track of.
Right.
So Wayne handles that in a stellar fashion, and he'll tell me what you say. but if you want to have a conversation, you can call me. If I don't answer the phone, and the phone number's at the website, it's because I'm busy, and I'll get back to you soonest. We pride ourselves on responding to our customers' inquiries. And so, you know, one of my pet peeves is businesses who are non-customer-oriented, and we are definitely not that.
Right, right. So, and I cannot recommend enough, if you guys are able to make the trip out, the facility is amazing, the instructions amazing as well. And it's actually one of the most impressive carbine classes I've ever been to, just from the scope alone. And it's certainly a place where I hopefully am going to get to spend more time, you know. So, but I guess if you feel like it, if you want a Pat Rogers story, if not, I've got more questions I can ask.
All right. Well, you know, that's a loaded question because most Pat Rogers stories are either X-rated or they're classified. It's a little hard to pick one out that doesn't you know, fall into one of those two categories.
You could do one of the X-rated ones as long as we don't use any of the 7 words that George Carlin talked about not saying on air.
No, I'd be I'm a little too modest for that.
Okay. Well, so and that actually brings a good point up that I want to really discuss. You spent a lot of time working with Pat Rogers. Now, Pat, inside of our community, got quite a bit of attention because he was a very prolific writer. He was very active on social media. and all sorts of things like that. But you actually helped conduct some of the training that he was doing back in the day before he broke into the private sector, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, he was one of my team members, and we served together for a number of years. Had a lot of shared operational experiences, and toward the backside of that, we started to conduct training, and Jeff Cooper used to call us the Pat and Pat Show. So that's a Pat Rogers story.
Well, it's kind of a Pat Rogers story, but I'll take it. I know that I just feel lucky that I've gotten you to come onto the show. That in and of itself, I had a couple of people that that are inside of the community ask me who was going to be on the show tonight. When I told them, they're like, "How'd you pull that off?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I live a charmed existence."
So, I thought they would say, "Who in the hell is that?"
No, that might be some of the people that don't know any better, but hopefully we can fix that a little bit. But Pat, I really appreciate you taking time out of your night to come talk to us. I know you had just finished up a training class and you're probably tired, but it does mean a lot to me, and I really do appreciate it.
Hey, John, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and enjoyed training with you here about 3 weeks ago, and look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, yes, sir, definitely. So you enjoy the rest of your night. Be safe, brother. All righty. So now, Jack, we've got some interesting projects coming up that I don't know if we want to talk about any of them or not. What do you?
You know, when you tell me don't talk about this stuff, and then you bring it up on air, I'm always like, what do I work for? The DNC?
Oh man.
Shots fired.
Well, not in here though, because that would actually be bad. Oh wow, the end of the show.
Aww.
I was gonna drop some really cool things on you guys, but then
just drop a word like rosebud. Let them wonder for a week.
Huh. What's the coolest thing I can talk about that I can't talk about, or I can talk about? Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. Anyway, hey guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you check out our website at www.ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio, and hey, keep leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really, really appreciate it, and that helps us out. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.